Good morning. Today I'd like to begin a series of lessons on what the world needs most. A popular song some years back said, "What the world needs now is love, sweet love, and that's the only thing I'm dreaming of." 1 John 4:16 says, "God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God." Human beings have many basic physical needs: light and darkness, food and water, shelter and clothing, compassion and love. We also have basic spiritual needs: the Bible, which is God's inspired word, that's God's communication to us; faith in the God who gave us his word; moral principles, which are recorded in the word; strong godly homes; and the Lord's church. Now, these and many other things we can mention are the real needs of humankind. Before one can become convinced that the Bible is God's word, they must have a basic knowledge of who God is and what are his wishes concerning man. Who is this God of whom we speak? He is the one and only true God. Ephesians 4 verse 6 says, "There is but one God." Through the ages, mankind has devised for himself many gods of wood, stone, and precious metals, such as Diana of the Ephesians in Acts chapter 19. There's gods of the Old Testament. There's Molech, Balaam, an idol of the Phoenicians and the Canaanites; Baal-Berith, an idol worshipped by Israel. There were all those many mythical gods of the Greeks down through the years. But still, only one true and living God. The God which the world needs is omniscient, which means all-knowing. Acts 15 verse 8 says that he knows the very hearts of man. The God which the world needs is omnipotent, all-powerful. The God that the world needs is omnipresent in every place at all time. Listen to the psalmist in Psalm 139 verses 7 through 10. "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me." He is a God of abundant love. He is a God of wrath upon the unrepentant wicked, but yet he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, Hebrews 11 6. This God is a no respecter of persons, Acts 10, 34 and 35. The one true and living God is actually three persons in one Godhead: God the Father, God the Son, Jesus the Christ, God the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Romans 1 verse 20 says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7 says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one." He is the creator of all things. Now, why is God what the world needs most? Well, first, and perhaps the most obvious, is the fact that without God, the world would not exist. Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Secondly, the fact that all physical things were created by the one true and living God tells us that we are dependent upon his great power to continue to exist. He is upholding all things by the word of his power, Hebrews 1 and verse 3. Third, without God, there would be no moral right and wrong, Hebrews 5, 12 through 14. Only through God and a knowledge of his word found in the Bible can one discern good and evil, what is right and what is wrong. If there is no God to whom one must give account, then humans are just animals subject to the same instinctive nature as the creatures of the wild, with no immortal soul, no hope of life after death. If such were true, we would be guilty of nothing, for there would be no one to answer to other than ourselves. One major cause of our society being in such disarray today is because, as a people, we have forsaken God and allowed such sins as abortion, euthanasia, homosexuality, substance abuse, illicit sexual activities, lasciviousness, which describes the modern dance among other things, and many other evils to become acceptable among us. Galatians 5, 19 through 21, Paul writes, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, they're made known, by adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and other such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Without God, there would be nothing wrong with such activities. However, because there is a God to whom we must someday answer, such things are terribly wrong. Romans 1, 18 through 32. We need God today because he is our only hope for life after this life. In speaking to the Ephesians, Paul mentioned their existence before becoming Christians as a time of having no hope and without God in the world. Ephesians 2:12. God the Son, Jesus, is our only hope. 1 Timothy 1, verse 1. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. John 14, verse 6. Now, friends, how can we fill this need and find God? If mankind would but open his eyes, he would see evidence of God all around, because the universe in which we live points to a creator of high intelligence. Psalm 19, verse 1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Romans 1:20, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. The psalmist pondered the orderliness and complexity of the night sky, and he says, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? Psalm 8, 3-4. He concluded that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Psalm 14:1. The God whom the world needs has given instructions as to how one can please him through obedient service and worship. The instructions are recorded in the New Testament. God, through the Holy Spirit, inspired all the writers of the Bible to record his divine will. We are told all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. The Apostle Peter has informed us as to how God inspired these writers. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 1:21. The Bible is divided in two major parts. The first part, the Old Testament, was given to the Jews, or the nation of Hebrews, and was designed to bring mankind to Christ. Galatians 3:16 through 29. Today we are governed by the second part, the New Testament, and it is here that one learns how to become a Christian and live the Christian life. To be well-pleasing to God, one must have faith. The writer of the book of Hebrews said, without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11, verse 6. The faith which pleases God can only come from a study of the Bible. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. David speaks of the importance of the Bible message in our lives as a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Psalm 119, 105. The beautiful story of Jesus, his birth, life, and finally his sacrificial death on the cross is the good news called the gospel. It is this gospel of Christ which is God's power to save. Romans 1:16. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The gospel story is composed of the very words of Jesus the Christ, who said, he who believes in me, believes not in me, but in him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last days. John 12:44-48. He goes on to say that these are actually the words of God the Father. John 12:49-50. In his public ministry while here on the earth, Jesus first gave God's plan for salvation. He mentions faith, without which we cannot please God. Hebrews 11:6. Jesus said, if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. John 8:24. Believing that Jesus died for me causes me to be sorry for my sins. I'm sorry for the sins that I've committed, and I want to stop doing those sinful things and follow him. This change of mind and life is repentance. Jesus said, I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Luke 13 and verse 3, and he repeats it in verse 5. In Acts 17 and verse 30, it informs us that repentance is a command of God. When one comes to believe and repents, they will then wish to tell others of this faith. This we call the confession. Notice that this is not confessing our sins, but confessing our faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Therefore, whosoever confesses me before men, him will I confess before my Father, who is in heaven. Matthew 10:32. Later, God inspired the apostles to tell us that the confession is to be made by the mouth and to salvation. Romans 10:9-10. Upon our confession of faith, we are then to be baptized in the death of Jesus Christ, Romans 6:3-4. This is in keeping with the word of Christ, who said, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned," Mark 16:16. This salvation through faith and baptism is described by Jesus as one being born again, John 3:3-5. This is the birth by which one becomes a child of God. Thus, in obeying Christ through these four steps and remaining faithful throughout our lives, Revelation 2:10, we fulfill the most basic need to find God. Yes, what the world needs most is God. God really is, whether we acknowledge Him or not. And the most important question facing you today is, have you fulfilled your soul's need for God? Until next week, may God bless and keep you.